welcome back the great Gordo.
Thank you, Miller Man. Good. Thank you, Giorgio. I don't know if anyone noticed, but I was out last week. I have a horrible fear that no one actually noticed.
Oh, people noticed.
A couple people did.
Well, I was out last week for a sad reason. My father passed away on January 2nd, on the Saturday before we were supposed to return to work. You guys did return to work. And he had been battling cancer for about a year. And those of you may remember, those of you who have a steel trap mind, may remember that my mother died in May of cancer. And then right after that, we had to go right in on my dad, helping him to get along. And so it was quite a tough year. My dad was determined to not, he had said, you know, it's unfair for a child to lose both parents in one year. And so he was determined to see 2016, and I can't believe he made it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was, that guy had more things wrong with him and had more will to keep going than anything I've ever seen. It was very amazing and very inspiring to me to see him battle as hard as he did for the reasons he did. So I called up Kat, I debated it, and talked to you guys on Sunday, that Sunday after his death, and said, you know, hey, I hate to do this, but I need to take this week off. And a week's a long time, and that even seemed excessive to me in the beginning when I asked it, but I'll be darned if I didn't need every single minute of that. There was so much to do. The business of death is complicated and detailed, and there's so many things that you have to do. Because I was the executor of the estate, too, it added a lot of complications. And unlike my mother's death, when I had to take 3 days off, with my dad's death, there is all this full estate stuff that you have to deal with.
Right.
The other complication was, and you guys were there, you guys took off early on Friday, and I appreciate this so much. It was the only time we could do it, and you guys still made it to the service on Friday at 10 a.m., and y'all showed up. And we did a kind of an unusual thing for my father's funeral. The family did the service from stem to stern. We did the whole thing. And that, I know, is, it's probably not like most funerals the way they go, because it was it was very reminiscent of the old plays we would put on for my mom and dad in the living room when we were kids.
Oh, it was great. Y'all did an incredible job. I've never been to such a unique service before and more heartfelt service before, and it was beautiful.
That's the way to do it, by the way, to have it run completely by family members who intimately know the person that you're honoring, as opposed to 99% of the funerals where it's conducted by someone who only had a loose association with that person.
That galls me so much. When you go to a funeral and some preacher gets up there who didn't know the deceased at all, gets their name wrong.
Right.
Calls him something, you know, the guy went by Jack, he calls him John and or something, and he's, John was a kind man who never said a cross word. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, God, that guy was the biggest SOB we ever knew. What is this guy talking about?
Yeah, they're reading the form sermon that they use for every funeral.
Yeah, they just do it like an astrologer would do a reading. Right. You know, it's just, something will fit.
But you know what? Not everybody can do what you guys did. I mean, it's a very difficult...
I think everybody could do what we did.
No. They, trust me, they could not. They could not. And they could not do it as well. I mean, I guess, yes, everyone could attempt it. Very few, I think, would have the, just the bravery to do it and just to step out there and do it like that. And, yeah, you did your dad proud. All the services that he did, you and your brother and your sister, you play the violin beautifully, and you have your dad's flair for comforting people and for conducting a service. That was really well done.
I still look back and can't believe I did that. Actually went up there and preached a funeral service.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who was, and I'm sure there were some, I know there were some Baptist pastors that were in the audience, some very prominent ones who've had very long careers. They had to be looking at this going, is this what the funeral business has become?
No, they loved it.
These guys getting up there, it was, but it really was. It was perfect for us as a family to go up there and to share funny stories, to laugh and to cry, and talk about what fatherhood means and what being a good child means and what leading a full life means.
Yes.
And the people at the reception were just so kind about the way we did it, what we tried to do anyway. And I basically think that ours looked good because most of them are so bad. just in comparison. But what it was just honest, and it was a great look at my dad, and we shared a lot of pictures of my dad with his family. You got to see him growing up.
Loved the pictures.
Wasn't that unbelievable?
Loved them.
To see him as a young man, to see him dating my mom, and them getting married, and then him rising through the ranks as a preacher, and to just to get the sense of a full arc of a life.
Yeah.
And you start, you can't help but make it wonder, man, am I leading a full enough life? Am I doing all the things that I want to do?
I thought about that the whole rest of the day.
Yeah, the clock is ticking on all of us.
Yep. Yep.
And what do I want to accomplish, and what kind of person do I want to be?
Yeah.
You know, there were a million favorite things about the service, but two that really stood out. You had a private service for your mother, and I thought you guys did a really good job of working her in and her story in and their story as well. So it was for your father, but it was for both.
Right.
I thought that was great. And then I loved when you read your dad's last words, his last sermon. He wrote a little something for you to read at the end. And that was maybe my favorite part, because it was hearing from him one last time.
That was really powerful.
And of course, it was unbelievably beautifully written by him. And it was funny, but it was poignant. It was thought-provoking. It was touching. It was just... You could not have ended the service in a better way.
Well, he knew both of you guys, and he loved both of you so much. And it was strange. There was a funny moment as we had this Keystone Cops caper going on that we called a funeral service. And I realized, like, right before I got there at the last second, because I was having to burn the DVDs for those slideshows.
Right.
Because for that nice a funeral home, and that's one of the nicest, they have state-of-the-art equipment. And to honor my parents, that state-of-the-art equipment was the year of their marriage, 1966.
Why haven't they upgraded?
I don't know. But you have to burn a CDs in a particular way and everything. So I got there at the very last minute. Meanwhile, the thing of with all the details that I was having to take care of and phone calls to answer and get the picture to this person and, you know, talk to the paper and to get the obit done and all that, I realized, okay, now I can focus on the service. Oh, crap, I can't. I've got to go to the service now. So I get to the service, and right before I go up there into the pulpit, they say to us, okay, and the pallbearers were sit here, and I was like, oh, I forgot to fill out the pallbearer list. So I knew me and my brother, and I knew my brother-in-law. Okay, so that's three. And then it was heavy recruitment time, and I had no idea. I couldn't even think. And my brother goes, hey, George and Junior are out there. And I said, oh, that's perfect. Yes. And so we came out and asked you guys to be pallbearers. And I thought that was wonderful that you guys helped us.
We were so honored.
Yep.
Yeah.
Load him into the back of the old Patty Hearst.
Yeah, we were so honored by that. And it was funny, though, because when your brother asked us, we said, well, sure. And he said, okay, well, y'all need to move up to the front where the family is. I said, like now?
Because everybody was in their seats. Yeah. We were ready to go.
The service is ready to go. It looks like you guys are being asked to leave or something.
But then as we walked to the very front, and I'm just following George, then it felt like we thought we deserved better seats. So we were moving right to the front. And then George goes,
egotistical radio guys.
So there are a couple rows open at the very front on either side, and George goes to the left, so I follow him in, and we sit down, and then the family comes in, and they all sit on the right. So right. George and I are the only ones right in front of the podium, and the whole family's on the other side of the chapel.
But we couldn't move again.
Yeah, we couldn't move again. And then you came out to start the service, and I thought, okay, either we are making him really nervous because the two of us are sitting front and center right in front of Gordo.
Like,
or,
you're heckling me.
Right. Or, and so you're probably thinking, those jerks. Or I thought, maybe it's comforting since he talks in front of us every day. Maybe it's good that we're here.
Right, because that's what we do every day. We talk to each other, look at each other. No, it was great to have you guys there, and it's great to have you up front and center. And that, I had no idea how long the service was going to be because I never had a chance to kind of time it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it went, I think, an hour and 30, hour and 45.
It flew, though.
Yeah, it was.
And I felt so guilty when I saw the time when I got off the podium there, the pulpit. But that's what people said. They said it flew by, and it really was everything I would have wanted it to be.
Yeah.
It was funny, and it was touching, and it was grieving, and it was inspirational. It had everything to it, and it wasn't filled up with a bunch of junk hymns.
Some people like that. Sometimes hymns can be very comforting to people, especially older people.
To me, hymns are filler.
I know. But see, that was one of my parents' biggest requests was hymns, because that was very spiritual to them. So some people that, but yeah, some it doesn't
That's
really
where
work.
You go against your parents' wishes. That's where you say, they're not really going to raise an objection now. But so, yeah, we just did got up and talked, told stories, and then we had three different slideshows, one of him as a man, one of him as a father, and one of him as a grandfather. And so you got to see his whole life, and it was wonderful. And thank you. I cannot thank you enough to the P1s who have all said such incredibly kind things on social media and people who signed his guest book that they have online. It was really interesting to read the stories on his guest book because all these people from all these former churches, you see these names that you heard about your whole life, and then they would share some story about him. People that I didn't even know of, you know, that would be like his roommate his freshman year in college and tell some story about him. And so it was like rediscovering your dad all over again, you know, seeing him anew. And I got to tell you, it is a strange feeling beginning 2016 and see how the world that I knew 1 year ago, it has been completely obliterated. That anchor that my parents were to an extended family where we still gathered for all those holidays, and then that's gone.
Yeah.
It's quite an adjustment.
Yeah, and think of the influence your dad had. I was thinking about that afterwards and still has, and how many people he inspired and continues to inspire as a preacher. And you could see that with all the people that showed up and traveled a lot of miles. And if they couldn't, they greeted you, you know, by an email or something like that. But
yeah, it kind of reminded me again, you know, because I've known him, you know, you tend to think of them in their later years. And like I said, he lived with me the last part of his life when he couldn't really live on his own. And so you get used to him being that way, and then you have these time portals when something like this happens, and people start bringing up these different things that he did, different experiences that he went through, and you go, God, man, that guy was a big man. That guy did a lot of stuff in his life. And people telling funny stories. I told that one up there in the pulpit about him. Somebody had signed the guest book saying that they were one of the countless weddings that he had performed. And he actually, this guy who had left this comment, emailed me about a year ago and said, hey, your dad actually married me and my wife. Can I get in touch with him? I passed it on to Dad, and he was so good about that.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I passed on somebody who wanted his information, he would always write with him. And he said that the guy told my dad, hey, you married me and my wife. We ended up having four kids, still married to this day. And my dad said, thank you for helping my batting average. Marriages that actually worked and stayed working. And then someone else said this funny story of she had made this rum cake. Anytime someone made a rum cake in the Baptist church, it was always a little bit, you know, giggled about. And this woman had put so much rum in this thing. And she said that my dad, after they served the cake and everything, my dad had a piece because he was a huge eater, huge appetite. He said, Luann, you mind pouring me another glass of that rum cake? He was a funny man. He was a very inspirational man, and he was my dad. What can I say?
You know, my favorite line from the entire service was what he wrote at the end what you read, and he went child by child and talked about each of you, and he said, when talking about all the trouble you gave him when you were in school, he said, I spent more time at Gordon's school than he did.
Right.
Gordon taught me patience.
Yeah, taught me patience.
But you know what? You know, your dad taught me as a dad what we all should be, and that is just like a heavenly father is so accepting of their own kids for whatever it is they do and just loving them. And that is your dad's greatest gift to me. And I went home and called all my boys son. And I told him, I said, I don't say that word enough because that's what your dad. And it's just a little thing, but your dad was so proud of you and Scott and Kristen. And you know, he was such a great dad. And just to hear that enthusiasm in his voice saying, that's my son.
Right.
Well, you know, I need to do more of that with my sons, you know, because they are my sons and I love them more than they could ever know.
And here he was, a Baptist preacher, and you know, he never gave me flack about what I did for a living.
Incredible. Mm-hmm.
And I remember I kind of quit going to church like in 9th or 10th grade, somewhere in there. And that's a big deal. And all of a sudden the pastor's son's not even going. And he never pressured me. He always said, you'll find your own way.
Wow.
That's great.
However it is, you'll find your own way. And you guys like this.
You're listening to The Ticket.
Thank you very much for that. You covered it beautifully. As I was going through his stuff and having to get estate documents together and everything and going through his desk, he had a file on each of you that he collected all your articles that were written about you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, pictures of you. He had the one about you and your boy that was in the paper and all that.
Wow, how great.
Yeah, he loved you guys.
Well, we loved him.
Definitely loved him. Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming to the service. And thanks for not dropping him when you had the chance to.
Yeah, we weren't about to.
No way.
All right, Gordo.